Cliff Richard. She Means Nothing to Me on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6 and online. Now, it is the last hour of the Wednesday afternoon show. We've just had a Visit Isle of Wight show with Councillor Carl Love and the Mayor of East Cowes talking about the Romanovs. And Judith, you wanted to tell me something about Fabergé eggs we were talking about there.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Fabergé eggs because there was talk at one point, wasn't there, James, that a Fabergé egg might be travelling from Russia to the Romanov weekend and be on display at Barton Manor.
Ooh, that's big.
Now, I'm not sure whether that's coming or not, but fingers crossed. So in the meantime, we've all heard about Fabergé eggs, haven't we?
Yeah.
But I thought I'd do a little bit more research. And the first Fabergé egg ordered by the Russian royal family dates back to 1885, and an egg was produced for the Tsar every year from 1885 until 1916. 50 eggs were created in total. A number have now been lost. They were lost at the time of the Russian Revolution. In 1917, and I think there are 43 scattered around the world still in existence that we know about.
Wow. So there's potentially seven in someone's attic.
Absolutely. Seven could pop up on the Antiques Roadshow.
That's amazing.
That is incredible, isn't it?
I can't wait for that day.
Absolutely. So, first imperial Fabergé egg ordered in 1885 by the Russian Tsar Alexander III, who was the father of the last Tsar, Nicholas, and he commissioned the jeweller Fabergé to make an egg for his wife, Empress Maria Fyodorovna. I'm not even going to try for Easter. And the first egg was based on an 18th century Saxon royal egg, and then every year, each year thereafter, Fabergé would design his own eggs, and very often they included a little gift in the middle of them. So when you open them up, there might be a little surprise in the middle. So in effect, they were sort of the most upmarket, the most expensive, the most decorative form of gift wrapping. Isn't that extraordinary? And then when Tsar Nicholas II, the last Tsar, came to the throne, he kept the tradition which his father had started alive, but he raised the stakes because he ordered two eggs per year, one for his mother Maria and one for his wife Alexandra.
Oh, he was a good son.
Yeah, absolutely. Incredible. So the Fabergé Museum in St. Petersburg, which opened in 2013, has 9 imperial eggs. And another large number are held at the Kremlin Armoury. So,
very interesting.
Yeah.
Does Osborne House have any eggs?
It doesn't, actually. Although, apparently, the British royal family itself does own 3.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know where they're on display, but it'd be quite nice if they lent one or more to Osborne. So I don't know whether you can get to see them if you visit, say, Buckingham Palace when that's open during the summer.
No.
But it'd be nice if they were on display somewhere.
No, a bit of a work on Fabergé eggs when I think it was in primary school, actually.
And did you?
Yeah, I think, I can't remember what it was for. There was some kind of event going on. We had to look into them, but it was very, very amazing to look at the detail and the fine intricacies of these things that are just kind of made as a gift, and it's just awe-inspiring, to be honest. Yeah.
Apparently, it could take a year or maybe 2 years to create each egg.
Painstaking.
And Fabergé himself, I mean, he designed them, but then he brought in master craftsmen who were experts in different crafts and techniques. And it was like he was the conductor of an orchestra, apparently, getting these eggs made by all these different craftsmen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And like a posh Kinder Surprise.
Yeah, absolutely. But unfortunately, you couldn't eat it.
Unfortunately.
Maybe letters are chocolate inside.
There's no little toy car on the inside.
Yeah,
so that was amazing stuff about the amazingly detailed, beautiful things that are Fabergé eggs. We'll be back with some wacky news after this.